Well, there was a French-Canadian officer in charge of the unit at this crossroads, trying to make some order out of pandemonium was there, because nobody could figure out what to do with the dumb things. So I kind of stepped in and gave him a hand and got everybody lifting at the same time and hauling, and we joined them trying to put the boats in the river. But by this time now, our barrage is stopped. We've lost all the element of surprise. Here we are muddling around, making a big racket that we're supposed to do this thing. It's supposed to be a surprise element. Here we are making a big racket on the other side of the river trying to get these boats down. It's just kind of a zoo. And finally we get them to the edge of the river, push them in, and by that time the Germans are shooting at us with everything they've got from the other side, so nobody's very anxious to get in these canvas boats and get out in the middle of the river. Well, and I wasn't supposed to be there because the other unit was supposed to have done it for me. But in any event, I said, well, somebody's got to go across there, even though it's not our job to do it. So I tried to encourage my man. I said, let's get across there. So we got one of these dumb boats going, and we got across the river on the other side. And when we got to the other side, why, we heard this tank going around, the tracks churning around in the field, and we climbed up over the top of the dike. There was just a handful of us got over there, and we looked over the top, and there was this tank looking for a target, right, just a couple of hundred yards from us. And I said to the sergeant was next to me, and I said, let's head for that farmhouse over there. I don't think he'll see. If he doesn't see us, we can make it to that farmhouse, and we'll open up this whole front. Well, we started to run from the bank, headed towards that farmhouse, but that tank spotted us right away, and he fired off probably one round, because at least we heard him, and we turned around and said, let's get out of here. We turned around, headed back towards the riverbank, because it was a wide open field, was all we were running in. And we flopped down on this side of the bank, and the tank went off another round, and it hit the bank, and two pieces of shrapnel went in the rear of my legs, my thighs, actually. So anyway, we scrambled back across the river, and by this time we floated downstream, and the point where I came across the river, I was in another unit's area. And this was actually the unit, the Farley Mowat's unit. I didn't know it. The first time I'd run into this unit, and they were called the Hastings and Prince Edward Regiment, and they were from around the Toronto area in Canada. And I went into their medical orderly, their medical station, their aid station, and every battalion has one. Not too many facilities up that close, but they do have a doctor and some medical orderlies. And they just laid me down on a table of some kind, and just picked out a couple of pieces of shrapnel out of the back of my legs and bandaged me up and sent me back to my unit. I was in pretty good shape. There were flesh wounds again, but I knew I'd been hit. But it was a little embarrassing to get hit in that area of your anatomy. So anyway, when I went back to my unit, everything was in great schmozzle again because the whole operation had collapsed. So they called another orders group. And here, the next day, he says, here we go again. We're going to try it again. This time we'll do something different. I was beginning to lose enthusiasm rapidly for this sort of an operation. And I said, well, we need some air support. We need some more artillery support. We need a lot more things. This is primitive, trying to go across with just infantry without proper support. But they did do us at least a favor of saying, well, wait up for a couple of days till we figure out some other things. And we did stay in that area under very heavy shell fire. My company commander was carried out. He later died. I was in a farmhouse with him when a huge moaning mini, they call them. Nebelwerfer is the German name for it, mortar. It was a huge monstrous thing they used to throw over at us, and it came with the screamers attached to it. And it landed next to a wall of a farmhouse we were in, and it blew a huge hole in the wall. And my company commander was very seriously wounded with that blast. I was knocked flat, and a bookcase in that farmhouse fell on top of me. I was covered with dust, and actually I thought I was covered with blood. It later turned out to be there was a gallon of rum in the company headquarters in that corner, and then it burst, and it had seeped out all over my pant leg, and this sticky mess turned out to be rum, not blood, which was fortunate. In any event, we got out of there, but we lost 5 or 6 men in that farmhouse alone. And we hung around that position for several days, had lots more experiences in Italy, but let me go on to where we were transferred finally to Europe, because we didn't stay in Italy for perhaps another month longer, had quite a few patrols and experiences that way, got to see the famous freedom fighter, the Russian fellow, Popsky. There have been books written about Popsky's private army. He used to operate behind the German lines. He was a very bold fellow, and he came through my lines a couple of times.